Alright, so the great thing about this class is that since we have no curriculum, that if I want to just add something in, that we can do that. So last week, or rather last time we had class, I said that we were done with Tikva B'Shofar and that we'd be moving on to Hashiva Shofteinu this week. And I'm sure everyone brought their Hashiva Shofteinu hats, but actually wanted to just spend one more class on Tikva B'Shofar. I came across a Maharal which I wanted to connect to the bracha of Tikva B'Shofar. We discussed several different approaches to the three stages or the three levels, three phases of the bracha of Tikva B'Shofar. We have the first Tikva B'Shofar Gadol Erecheinu, blow the great shofar for our freedom, and then the San Nes LeKabes Galuyosenu, and raise a banner to gather our exiles. The Kabbatzenu Yachad Me'arba Tanfos Aretz, and gather us together from the four corners of the earth. So we have these three stages, and we discussed a couple of approaches. I wanted to develop one more idea, and this idea really dovetails very nicely with something that we discussed in our previous class. We discussed the idea of the Malbim, about the idea of a nidah, which means that someone is pushed off, and we'll get back to that at the end. But basically, there's a medrash. The medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, Parak Mem Beis, and the medrash on the pasuk Vayomer Hashem El Avram Yadoa Teda Ki Ger Yezarecha. So Hashem said to Avram, "You shall surely know that your children will be strangers in a strange land, and they'll enslave them, and the whole situation over there by Brisbane of Asarim." So the Medrash says, "Vayomer Hashem Avram, Yadoa Teda, Yadoa Shani Mefazran, know that I will scatter them, Teda Shani Mekabson, and you will know that I will gather them in. Yadoa Shani Memashkanam, know that I am going to deposit them. Teda Shani Parkon, and you will know that I am going to redeem them, or to bring them back, or to repossess them. Yadoa Shani Meshaabdam, know that I am enslaving them, putting them into subjugating them. Teda Shani Golam, and you will know that I am going to redeem them." So the Maharal in Netzach Yisrael, in the first chapter of Netzach Yisrael, so he discusses this medrash, and he says, you know, what's the point of these, you know, three different phrases here? It should have been enough just the last one. I'm ani mishabdam, ani golam. I'll subjugate them and I'll free them. That's the idea of galus and geula. So what's going on here? What are these three different expressions? And what's the idea of the medrash that this isn't the implication of yadoa teda? So read the Maharal here. The Maharal says that what's going on in this medrash, Ratzu Lefarish, they wanted to explain ki b'shtei elu milos, in these two words, yadoa teda, nirmaz hagalos, the galos is hinted to, v'hagu'ula, and the redemption. Hagalos v'lashon yadoa, the galos, the exile, with the language of yadoa, no, v'hagu'ula v'lashon teda, and ge'ula with the lashon of teda, you will know, shehu lashon asid, which is future tense. V'ratza lomar, what they're trying to say is, min hagalos teda ge'ula asid, that from the galus, that through the galus, you shall know that there is a future ge'ula. Kemosha pirshu, like they explain, yadoa shani mefazran, know that I will scatter them, teda shani mekamson, you will know that I will gather them. Ki hapizur, eino lefi seder hametzius, shayi davar echad, kamo Yisrael, shahim am echad mefuzar, that it's not natural, it is not part of the order of existence of creation, that something which is meant to be one should be scattered. like Am Yisrael, which is Mika Amcha Yisrael, Goy Echad Baretz. Am Yisrael is Echad, and it's not natural for something which is Echad to be scattered. Kemoshe Yisbar, Kiadvarim Shehim Echad, Heim Yachad, Gamkein, something which is Echad, which is one, is also Yachad, is also unified. V'chein Yadoa Shani Memashkanam, similarly, know that I am depositing them. V'nasati Osam Birshus Achirim, I handed them over into the authority of others. V'ein Roi Lefi Seder HaMetzius, Sheyiyu Yisrael Omdim Birshus Acher, that it is not fitting that Klal Yisrael be in the Rishus of another. Ki Mash Yisrael Heim Be'eretz Acheretz, that which Klal Yisrael is in a different land, Yatsu Mirshusam, they left their own dominion, they left their own domain, the Omdim Mirshus Acher, and now they're in a different, they're in a different location. Kemo Hamashkon Shenichnas Mirshus Acher, like a mashkon, like a deposit, which has been handed over to someone else's domain. V'chein Yisrael, similarly by Yisrael, Einam Re'uyim Lefi Seder HaMetzius, it is not fit, it is not appropriate according to the order of existence, Sheyu Tachas Memshas Acherim, that they should be under the control of others, V'yu Acherim Mishabdim Behem, and that others should be subjugating them. Ki lo al davar zehim nivraim, because that's not what they were created for. Lakach yadoa shani mishabdam, and therefore know that I am mishabed them, I am subjugating them. Teda shani goalam, and know that I will redeem them. Lahotzi osam in a shiba, to remove them from the shiba, to remove them from the subjugation. Ki lo timta davar shehu yotze min a seder sheyu mekuyam, there is no such thing as something which leaves its natural state, which remains, which can maintain, which can persevere. Hine hisbar be'el gimel dvarim shemin agaros yachol lamud al geula, and it's through these three things becomes clear that from the galus that it's the consequence is the geula. So, in other words, the Maharal is describing is that there's a natural order of things, and things, everything exists by its nature in a certain way. And when something leaves its natural state of existence, there's nothing that can remain in its unnatural, there's nothing that can remain out of its, so to speak, natural habitat, out of its natural context of existence, and therefore, if it is to continue existing, it, by definition, is going to be turned back, it's going to return to its natural state of existence, and therefore, from the fact that Klal Yisrael, they are meant, they're an Am Echad, their nature is that they're an Am Echad, so by their nature, they're going to be, if they're mufuzer, if they're scattered, so there's a draw, there's a pull, pulling them back, to come back to being Echad, because that's the nature of their existence, and it's unnatural for them to be scattered, and they don't remain in that unnatural state. It's impossible for them to remain in that unnatural state. There's something about existence which is something which leaves its nature is automatically unstable in that situation. So we have these three bechinos, these three aspects, these three elements. You have the makom, you have their location that's unnatural for them to be birishus acher, to be in a different location, not in their own place. You have the ichud, their unity. It's unnatural for them to be scattered. They're meant to be united. And you have the memshal, the malchus. It's unnatural for them to be under the dominion of others. They're meant to have their own autonomy. So there are three aspects which define the state of existence of a nation, and we'll see it also the state of existence of a man. There's the location, there's the unity, and there's the malchus, the culture and the self-determination. And these things, that's the natural state of, there is a status quo natural state that each, that an ummah, that a nation has in this regard. And anything which leaves its natural state cannot remain that way. So there are two options if they've left that state. So either it can't continue to exist, it's going to cease to exist, or inevitably it must return and show that the deviation was not a departure from its previous state, but it was just a temporary. It was a temporary leave. It was something which was veering off of the way in which its regular mode of existence. But it's something which is only temporary. So those are the only two options. You know, by most nations, you don't see many Romans walking around anymore. You don't see many. I mean, you see Greeks, but they're not the same Greeks that talk about. They have a little bit more national debt. And but you know, you don't see a Roman walking around anymore. Why not? Because once the Romans, you know, lost their location, so there's really no more Romans anymore. Roman society, it kind of it's fell by the wayside. Once they lose their autonomy, once they lose their malchus, or once they lose their ichud, they get scattered, they get separated. So there is no more nation. Discussion in Halacha about when Sanherib came and he was Mebalbal's Umut, he mixed everyone around. So is there such a thing as a Mitzri anymore? Is there? We don't know who the Mitzrim are. The Mitzrim aren't living in Mitzrayim. The people in Mitzrayim aren't the Mitzrim. So for all practical, there's really no operational, you know, Halacha of a Ger Mitzri, because they're not around anymore. That if you leave your, if they leave their, one of these three elements of what defines a nation, what defines the state of existence, so either they're pulled back, there's something about it which remains, you know, in this unnatural state which is waiting to be recoiled, or else they cease to exist. By Klal Yisrael, Netzach Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu's promise that Klal Yisrael is eternal, demands that that Klal Yisrael will, by their nature, return. The Golus, by definition, is going to be retracted, because there are these three facets which define the nature of Klal Yisrael. They cannot be permanently removed from their natural state of existence. They cannot cease to exist. So by definition, the fact that they are out of their natural state of existence says that they will be brought back to their natural state of existence. And therefore, from the fact that they are in Shiabud, means that they're going to come to Geula. From the fact that they are in another land, means that they're going to have to be brought back to their own land. And from the fact that they're not together, that they're not unified, means that they're going to have to be reunified. That these elements, that they're, by definition, they're part of the nature of Klal Yisrael, is that these things are going to recoil. They're going to have to, at some point, default back to the way that it's meant to be. Avraham Avinu, in the first pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha, was told to abandon three things. The pasuk says, "Bereshit Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzecha, mimoladecha umibeis avicha, el aretz asher araka ve'yasham l'goy gadol." So the it tells him to leave three things. It tells him he should leave his eretz, his mimoladecha, and beis avicha. So before we get to what those things are, what that's the significance of that, but let's just understand Avraham, the nature of this Yitzhiya, where Avraham was leaving. Avraham was the beginning of the formation of a new Mitzias, a new existence, a new creation. The formation of of Klal Yisrael was not just that, you know, now they've broken off, they veered off. It was the creation of something new. It was a brand new existence which was put in the world, an existence which had taken up a nation which had taken up the banner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, taken, accepted the mission to bring Kavod Hashem into the world. So Avraham was the beginning of the formulation of a new existence. And for this reason, Avraham was unable to have children. Avraham was in Akar, he was barren, he was unable to father children, because he was not a continuation of his genealogy. You know, we find this when they mix two species, like a mule. What's a mule called? It's called a, not a hybrid, it's called a hybrid? No, not a hybrid. What's the word when they mix two species together, when they and you get a new species, that new species is called it's not coming to my head right now, but
Kilium.
What?
Kilium.
We have Kilium, exactly. So when you have a species of Kilium, so for example, a mule is sterile. A mule is unable to reproduce because the ability to reproduce is something which a person inherits as a member, as a continuation, because I am the next link in the chain of this chain of genealogy. I am passed down to me the ability to produce the next link in the chain. So because I am a continuation of what came before me, I have the ability to continue to promulgate further links in the chain. But Avraham Avinu was not a continuation of the genealogy that he came from. He was not just the next step in that pool, in that line, and therefore he was unable to have children because he wasn't a continuation of anyone. He didn't receive the ability to create like him because he wasn't a continuation of something that was like him. He was a brand new Bria, and therefore Avraham was infertile because he wasn't a continuation of the species that he came from. He didn't inherit the ability to reproduce, and therefore it was only when he was changed from Avram to Avraham, when Hashem added the Os Hey, which is the Os Ha'olada, right? Hey is the letter of femininity. That's just in Hebrew grammar. You see that when you make a word into a feminine word, you add a hey to the end of it, right? That's the classic, most basic rule, is that something that ends in a hey, that's the female version of that word, of that verb, of that noun, of whatever it is. And when it's so the most basic element of, you know, difference between male and female, the females are the ones who have the babies, right? So that it was by when Avram had the Os Hey, the letter Hey, the letter of Holada added to his name, that's when he was given the promise that you'll have many descendants. It was at that point that he was a new Bria, he was a new creation, and he had to be given the ability to procreate, to continue, and to promulgate that existence, this new species that he was, had to be given specifically the koach ha-holada, the faculty of reproduction, because being a new entity meant that he was not by nature a continuation, and did not by nature have the ability to continue himself afterwards. So Avraham was, in a very real sense, was a disconnect from his previous existence. He was a disconnect from the culture in which he came from the genius, from the family that he came from the society that he came from. He was disconnected and removed, and he was the one who was starting something new. And therefore, Avraham was disconnected from his previous existence, and he was not a hemshech, he was not a continuation of that existence. So Avraham was disconnecting himself from the teva, from the state of existence, from the nature with which he began. He was a disconnect from that. He was a new start. And therefore, Avraham departed in three ways. He was told, Lech lecha, leave, depart, me'artzecha, from your makom, from your land, right? Leave from your land, from your place, from your physical location. Mimoladitcha, from your nation, from your people, from your country, and mi beis avicha, from his family, from the people that he's closest to, the people that he would feel the most united with, the people who are his own, you know, blood relatives, the people that he is the most united with, to leave it from them. So Avraham's departure was corresponded to these three areas of what defines a nation. He was told to depart me'artzecha, from makom, from the place, to go from the rishus that he was in. He was told to depart from the ichud, from the unity of his mishpacha, from the beis avicha, and he was told to depart from the memshah, from the malchus, from moladitcha, from the country and the society that he was from, to leave that autonomous entity of a group of people. So he was told to leave from that, and that's the those three elements that they define a nation, and that specifically, those three elements that Avraham Avinu was told that he was to leave from those three aspects of where he came from, to completely disconnect himself from the nationality from which he came, from the place from which he came, and to start something new. This is the defining points of a nation. This is really also the defining points of an individual. An individual also has a natural state of existence within these three spheres, within these three elements, and a person can have an individual galus, can have a private galus in these three areas as well. We have by makom, by his place, there's a halacha in a get that you have to write by the name of the man and the name of the woman, you have to write the town where they are from as part of their names. Because the makom, the place that they're from, is part of describing who they are. So that the Moshe Shapiro points out that Chazal define a person who is from a certain place as a, you know, person, a villager, as a ben kfar, and a city dweller as a ben kraf. You don't describe a shirt wearer as, you know, a ben beged, or, you know, someone who likes fish as a ben dog. You don't describe them as a son or a member of that, but by the location that you're from, by that element that Chazal described that as being a ben, as being a son, you're a product of that place. So you're a ben kach. I'm a son. I'm a product. I'm influenced. That's one of the spheres of elements of my existence is that that he's from a kach. Location is part of defining who a person is. And the galus is being out of your makom, being out of your place. You know, a person can permanently relocate. A person can move. You know, now you're from Silver Spring, and you could move and be from Chicago or whatever it would be, or Eretz Yisrael, right? And a person can permanently relocate themselves. That's true. But living out of a suitcase, you're traveling, and you're not reestablishing yourself. You're just not at home. You're not in your place of residence. A person feels out of sorts. It's very, you know, disconcerting to be living long term in a place which isn't your home. You don't settle there. You don't, not having a kvias, not having that I'm established here. And that's what the idea of makom is, that I'm established here. This is where I'm established, this is where I'm set. And that's, you know, so to speak, a person's comfort zone is that sphere of their makom. And a person can have a personal galus when they're, you know, out of their home or the makom that they're in, that they don't feel comfortable and they don't feel established there, they don't feel set there. And Klal Yisrael, you know, in galus, hopefully feels this everywhere they are, that we feel like we're not at home, we feel like we don't have a kvias, we feel, you know, in historically it was much easier, we never felt welcome anywhere we went. You know, today there's more of a challenge to know that we're not meant to feel at home where we are. Part of being in galus is knowing that we're not here permanently. This is not where we're set in. This is not where we're laying down roots. This is where we are until we go back home. And there's something which should be disconcerting about that. A person should feel unnerved and feel like I'm not in my natural state of being. But a person on an individual basis can experience that in your own life. Part of the galus of makom is feeling the uncertainty, the discomfort of not being in a place where I'm established, not being in a place where I'm set in. So that's the bechina, that's the aspect, the element of makom. Next, we have ichud, we have the unity, the unification. So, and an individual also can have, we discussed this, I think, actually, back at the beginning of this bracha of Tekah B'Shofar, the idea of Pizor HaNefesh, that a person is pulled in all different directions. You have an internal stira, an internal contradiction, an internal struggle of your ratzon, of your own desires, pulling you in different directions. I think I mentioned that Rav Ruderman explained the Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yossi said about Shavuos, the day of Matan Torah. So he said, "E lav hayoma, if not for this day, the day when the Torah was given, kama Yosef ika b'shuka. How many Josephs are there? You know, there's so many Josephs in the marketplace." So discussion, what exactly did you mean by that? He means, like, thank God that I get to be special and unique because the Torah is given, I learned a lot of Torah. So Rav Ruderman said that what he meant was, when he said, Kana Yosef Ika Bashuka, he didn't mean there's a lot of different people named Joseph. He means I, Joseph, would be a lot of different people. If it weren't for the Torah, which unifies and brings a person together and gives them direction and can pull together the disparate, fragmented parts of their of who they are, so it would be pulled in so many different directions. There would be so many different me's. The Kama Yosef Ika Bashuka, there would be a lot of Yosef. There would be that I would be pulled in so many different directions. There's the internal inconsistency that a person has, and that's an element. That's also an element of Gaulus. A person feels that they are drawn in so many different directions. They don't have that unity. They don't have that unifying element of one thing holding them together, one life goal, one mission, one unifying element of their existence. Also, on a personal level, there's the idea, there can be this idea of pizor, of being scattered, of being disparate on an individual level. And then we have the idea of the mamshara, the malchus, the rulership or the ownership. And that's, in our own lives, we experience the gullus of the bilus of the mastership over ourselves. The Medrash says that when the Yetzirah first comes, first it's a holeif, it's just passing by, and then it becomes an oreach, it becomes a guest, and then before you know it, it's the baal bais and you're the guest. That before you know it, the Yetzirah takes over, and the Yetzirah is the one who's running the show. Rav Dessler had a very humbling way of expressing this idea. I said that when you see when you see something that when you think about something you shouldn't do, you see something that heading in a direction you shouldn't be heading, something catch yourself doing something that you know really shouldn't be doing, what do you say to yourself in your mind? You say, you shouldn't do that. But when you see something that you want, you see, you know, a tasty you know, piece of cake or chocolate or whatever it is, so what do you say? You say, ooh, that looks good, I want that. When it comes to, you know, admonishing, when it comes to, you know, telling yourself the right thing to do, it's Balashan Nochach, it's second person. You speak to yourself as you shouldn't do that. It's an outsider speaking and saying you shouldn't do that. When it's talking about, you know, my physical desires and the things that my physical wants and, you know, the things that we would attribute more to, you know, our taivas. So then it's all of a sudden it's first person. Then it's me. Then it's I. When it's the Yetzirah, he's the Baal boss. He's the one, he's in control. He's running the show. The things that I associate as I is the things that the Yetzirah is pushing for. The things that I associate as you, that someone outside speaking, those are the things that should be my real ritzonos. But in the matzav of Gaulus, in the state of Gaulus, we lost the control over ourselves, lost this bechina of being in charge of ourselves, and the Yetzirah is now in control, and there's a shibud, there is a subjugation to another, to something that we're not able to overtake, and that's the personal experience of the Gaulus of Memshal. But there's these three levels of defining a person being where they're supposed to be, and Gaulus correspondingly is a person being not where they're supposed to be in these three regards. You have the aspect of makom, of the you know, physical context of being where he's supposed to be, being in his place, which really boils down to being kavua, being set and established and in kavua where you are. And that Gaulus is, you know, in a very real sense, being sent out. You're not at home. You're not in a place where you are set and welcome and established and setting in roots. And then there's Ichud, there's unity, there's being unified, being one. And in Gaulus, Klal Yisrael is scattered. We're not together as is natural to the existence of Klal Yisrael. And then there's the Memshala, the autonomy. Klal Yisrael is under the subjugation of other nations. We don't have our own autonomy. We don't have our own ability to determine our own destiny as we exist in Gaulus. And that's the Gaulus of the Memshala, of what it's supposed to be, that we are in control of ourselves and we are in our own self-governance. So I think these three aspects, these three elements, are really reflected in the three levels, the three stages of Tekaba Shofar. The first level, Tekaba Shofar Gadol Lecheru Seinu, blow the great shofar for our Cherus, right? The Cherus is, it's from the Shebud. Right now we're subjugated. Give us Cherus, give us freedom, give us the ability to determine our own future, to determine our own destiny. That's the first level, is the Tekaba, is the Lecheru Seinu, is that element of our natural existence, which is to be B'nei Cholin, to be in control of ourselves, and now in Golas, we're in the Shibud. So Yadoa Shani Meshabdam, know that I'm Meshabed them. Teda, that it's inevitably going to be, no, you will know, you can know for sure that it's inevitable, Shani Goalam, that I'm going to redeem them, to take them out of that subjugation. The second stage of the bracha, Sanes Lekabetz Galiyosenu, raise a banner to gather in the exiles. So that's the Bethin of Makom. That's to gather them back together. That they're outside of their land, and now they're going to be brought back to their land. So to bring them back. So that's that Bethina of of the natural state of existence of the Makom, of the place, and now where. In Galus, outside of our land, and to bring them back to their land, that's the second stage, is to be Mevatel. That's in the Galus, that's the Yadoa Shani Mimashkinam Teda Shani Parkam, and I'm going to bring them back into their own, into the Rishus where they belong, into the place where they belong. And then the third level, the Kabetzenu Yachad Me'arba Kanfos Aretz, bring us together from the four corners of the earth. So that's the aspect of Yichud, the aspect of that Klal Yisrael is their natural state of existence, is Goy Echad Ba'aretz, that they are one, and Echad and Yachid, they are unified, they're together. And so Yadoa Shani Mifazram, know that I am scattering them, Teda Shani Mekabtsam, that I'm gathering them in back together. So connected that, corresponding to that element of our natural existence, is to be echad. So there's going to be a kibbutz. Is going to, we're asking to be mevatel, to nullify, to counter that element of being out of our element, out of our nature, and not being together, not being unified. And that's the kabbatzenu yachad. So we mentioned in the last class we had different ideas of what it means, what Nidche Yisrael is, Nidche Amo Yisrael. But we mentioned the Malbim says that the idea of a Nidach is that something is, he defined the word Nidach as, Nidach is something which is not where it is supposed to be, something which is out of place, it has a place where it belongs, and it's not in the place where it belongs. That's the idea of what it means in Nidach. So it fits very nicely that the progression of the bracha, the whole idea, is that there are three ways in which Klal Yisrael, by their teva, by their nature, is meant to be in a certain way. Galus has, in these three ways, taken them out of where and how they are supposed to exist. And the Geula is meant to bring them back to where and how they are supposed to be. So that's Mekabetz Nidche Amo Yisrael, that the Nidachim, who are not where they are supposed to be, they have a place where they belong, and they are not in that place where they belong. So the Brach of Geula is that Hashem is bringing Klal Yisrael back to their natural state of existence. He's bringing them back to where they belong. He's bringing them back to the land that they belong in. He's bringing them back to the Malchus that they belong with, and bringing them back to the Achdus that they belong with, because that's their natural state of existence. And since they're not going to cease to exist, it can't be that they cannot permanently be not in their natural state of existence. By definition, they're not where they belong. They're going to be brought back to where they belong. Therefore, the Geula is going to be a reinstatement of the correct, the proper order of things, that Klal Yisrael is going to be brought back to the homeland in which they belong. All right, so next week, we're for real going to start the bracha of Hashiva Shoftinu.